On this episode of The Playbook, I have my new best friend and the co-founder of Iconic, Mark Brazil, and we talk about three of my favorite things: how to develop your skills, develop your knowledge, and most importantly, find that direct path to revenue.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneur The Playbook. I am so excited to have an ultra entrepreneur, Mark Brazil, the founder, co-founder of Iconic. Welcome to The Playbook.
Thank you for having me.
Cool. Well, we were just talking a little bit of New York vibe, and you're actually a New Yorker and I'm actually a Californian. But you were saying that if you want to be sports, business, entertainment, you have to be in California. Why do you think that?
I just think proximity is everything and relationships are everything. And, you know, I also more like it out here because a lot of people that are in California just don't have the New York mentality of just working hard, getting up early, and just putting in the long hours. And I feel like for me, I was living in Newport Beach 4 or 5 years ago, and I remember impossible to get parking. And then on a Wednesday, they had street sweeping at 9 a.m. And the only night that I can get parking was Tuesday night because no one wanted to wake up at 9 a.m. And right then and there, I was like, wow, no one wants to work hard here. So I think that being here, if you're an East Coaster, it really allows you to just, if you've got insane work ethic, which I have, it gives you a competitive advantage.
And where did that work ethic come from?
My father. So my dad took the 614 train to Wall Street for 35 years in a row. So, he had 8, 9 siblings. That side of my family is Brazilian. My mom's Jewish. And he just never complained. He wasn't an entrepreneur. He worked on Wall Street, but just every single day made that train. He almost never took days off. And I think that for me, it just instilled in me that you have to work hard. That's a given. There's no such thing as someone that's successful that hasn't worked hard.
I agree. And with that, though, comes discipline and also efficiency. So I think some people, there's that old saying, right? You don't want to work hard, you want to work smart. But I disagree. Like, I've always been like twice as many hours, twice as efficient, twice as statistically successful. Then you get 64 hours of productivity today. Where did the discipline part come in? So you're watching your dad. He's obviously a hard worker and a consistent worker. Mm-hmm. But there takes this great discipline to stay focused within the hours in the context that you work hard.
Yeah. It's so funny because I just did a panel and some guy talked about working smarter. And I was like, no, you need to do both, obviously. For me, I think it was really about finding something that I was passionate about and I could put a lot of effort into it. Quite frankly, I really don't think that I had discipline until I found something that I truly loved. And that was a couple years ago when I found Iconic. But for me, about 4 months ago, a guy named Kevion became my life coach. And he was waking up at 4:45 in the morning, which was an esoterical, crazy thing for me. And a Saturday night, I got really drunk and I woke up on Sunday and I was like, I just ended up passing out early on Sunday. And that Monday I woke up and I was like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to try waking up at 4:45. I went to the gym, and when I was on the stair climber, I listened to a podcast, this guy named Robin Sharma. It's called the 5 a.m. Club. And I'm 5 months in. I literally, from a discipline perspective, I'm on the treadmill by 5 o'clock. From 5 o'clock to 5:37, I burn 250 calories. From 5:37 to 6, I look and plan my day. From 6:05 to 6:15, I take a shower. From 6:15 to 6:30, I talk to my mom, my dad, or my sister. And then from 6:30 to 8, I do my one most important thing for the day. And then I start my day and I'm already destroying everybody. So discipline, I ultimately think it's the number one most important thing, discipline and focus. And people, you know, the morning routines, like, that changed my life. If I can give anybody advice, we can get into more advice, but having a morning routine and discipline, internally, you're building a reputation in your head where you're like, I never thought I could wake up that early. And now I wake up that, and I'm just a beast. When I wake up, I'm already ahead of people. So discipline, my father, and then I think just finding something that I truly loved.
That's so funny because I had a mom like your dad, raised 6 kids, single mom, but her guide, it was a blessing to us to control 6 kids, 5 boys and a girl, was she had 2 things, probably like your parents, guilt, Mm-hmm. Right. My mom drove us by Jewish guilt.
Yep.
But more importantly, she woke us up at 5 a.m. every day. So even if we wanted to party on a Friday night,
yep.
we were up at 5 a.m. on Saturday. And so she really never had to discipline or guide us or teach us, because she allowed the laws of time and exhaustion mm-hmm. to guide us into discipline and to habitual behavior. In fact, today, you know, I wake up at 4. But I have two different routines. I think it's important for people to know this. You need to have your routine every day when you're at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people do themselves a disservice when their environment changes. So your parents come to visit, or you travel a lot like myself. I think you're a student of your calendar.
Yep.
You're a time freak like I am.
Yeah.
I could tell already. Those are great things to have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one thing that helped me as I got older mm-hmm. is I came to the realization I got to have a second routine. The adapt. I'm leaving for New York tomorrow for my
yep.
book launch and everything. I have an adaptable routine
yep.
so that I can. I wake up at 7 a.m. in New York
mm-hmm.
to keep me on the 4 a.m. California time zone.
Yep.
But I have an adaptable schedule, meditation, working out, the whole thing. But I do research and find out where I can go. One other thing, though, that you do, and you're so successful at it, is it's not just the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the smart work, right? But it's also, you have the ability to connect to people emotionally. You have extraordinary relationships. Both of mm-hmm. our careers, we're kind of known for not only who we are, but more importantly, like, oh yeah, you know, that's Gary's dude, or, you know, mm-hmm. that's Scooter's. Like, the yep. list of people you're with, somehow you and I haven't hung out,
yeah.
but are the exact same friends that I have.
Yep.
And I think Instagram put us together real quick, and we're like, oh, we gotta mm-hmm. get together.
For sure.
And within minutes, you're down here. What is the most valuable advice or your technique or skill set in order to truly connect emotionally to the people who hold the highest vibration, right? These people that actually can, you can help, but also bring value to you.
Value first.
There you go.
It's that simple. I always say with Gary, I pulled a Gary on Gary.
I did too.
He reached out.
He was pissed too, right?
Yeah.
Because he lists out giving to Gary.
Yeah.
That's when I met him. He's like, dude, I got to help you. I'm like, no. He goes, you're ahead of me. I'm like, what do you mean I'm ahead of you
yep.
in giving?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate cheat code to life. I mean, Vayner Sports reached out to my business partner, Jeff, to do branding and logo design. He did it. They asked how much. And I said, nothing. 6 months later, I had Justin Giagrande, and I was, you know, it was a very simple, impactful email. We're disciples of Gary. Here's the last 7 months of revenue. Get us 15 minutes. 15-minute meeting, Beverly Hills Hotel. A week later, that turned into 30 minutes. He's like, I like you guys, come to New York. And then it went off from there. So giving value first, you know, without expecting anything, obviously down the line, you know, you always know you can cash in those chips is by far, I mean, it's the whole entire secret to life.
Right. And I think it takes faith
yep.
in people, right? I have it all the time. People mm-hmm. ask me, Dave, that guy's taking advantage of you. Why'd you get him tickets again to the game? And
mm-hmm.
I said, because I have faith I'm doing the right things, right? I have the power to give that value
mm-hmm.
and I have no expectation. Where I fell into a trap when I was younger
mm-hmm.
was that I would give to get. So it wasn't unconditional giving. Like if mm-hmm. Gary never did business with you, you still would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to give to trade,
yep.
right? Even like emotionally with my own mom, like, you know, I'd want her to me to be the favorite child, so I buy her house,
mm-hmm.
right? And you truly, I could say when you were, you know, in that aspect with Justin G and Gary V,
mm-hmm.
you're like, yeah, well, I'm going to do this and provide the value, knowing eventually it may not even be from them that there's something that's going to happen
mm-hmm.
that'll bring value, but you're not doing it to get.
Yeah, I also think I think people underestimate that people don't do business with products or brands. People do business with people, so ultimately they need to like you. You know, when we sat down with Scooter, you know, he's wearing, you know, a bent black brim hat and we're wearing the same shoes. So right away, you know, he was an East Coast guy who's Jewish as well. He did party planning. So did I. So there was a level of, you know, commonality. So I think people sorely underestimate that, you know, you need to be strategic in forming, you know, you need to have common interests and something to talk about. People need to enjoy having conversation. They enjoy being in the same room with you, because ultimately, like for me, I define success with doing what I want to do, with who I want to do, when I want to do it. And, you know, people, you know, of your level of success and, you know, the most successful people in the world, they are never, no matter how much money they can make, they're never going to do business with someone that they don't enjoy hanging out with.
Oh, no doubt. And no yeah. matter what age they are, like even I had a few kids come up to San Francisco for the Future of Sports Conference and the ICC event I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I really like these kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and they're asking me questions, making me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
And enjoying it. Now, one of the things that people don't realize, and doing my due diligence, and we have so many similar friends, I wanted mm-hmm. to call a few and say, hey, you know, I really like this guy. Tell yeah. me, you know, why I should like him. Well, you're like me in the respect that you don't necessarily only do things for people that can do things for you, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you hunt out Gary or Scooter. Yep. You know, in fact, Scooter, for example, mm-hmm. the way that I met Scooter Braun was I did a Super Bowl party for Lee Steinberg years and years ago. Mm-hmm. No one knew who Scooter was or Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. Scooter's from Canada. Well, Justin, yeah. right? They came up to me and said, hey, we're huge Warren Moon fans. Can we set up a time to meet Warren, who, my business partner?
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, sure. Let me set that up. And he's all, well, by the way, you know, we're going to launch my friend, Justin. Mm-hmm. He's going to do his first concert ever. He's like 12 mm-hmm. in Sunset. You know, would you like, you know, some tickets for your girls or whatever? I'm like, yeah, well, it's not necessary, but let me ask my girls if they want to go to the Justin Bieber, you know, launch mm-hmm. concert. I don't know who Justin Bieber is.
Yep.
I'm an old middle-aged guy by then.
Yep.
Sure enough, you know, being kind to my future self, never knowing who the gatekeepers are,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether it was Maverick or Scooter or other people through my career that I've helped,
mm-hmm.
You seem to do the same things. It's not as if every guy that you're doing business with was up here at mm-hmm. the very pinnacle of their career, already, you know, 51 years old on their way.
Mm-hmm.
But I see you doing business with a lot of guys that you put faith into that, hey, yep. you know what? I'm really going to help him elevate others to elevate myself. What do you look for when you, those gatekeepers, you know, when nobody knows who they are?
Well, just off the rip, I'm just really passionate about just helping people. And for me, you know, I didn't have a mentor growing up. I was close to my father, but not in a business context. So for me, I've made so many mistakes that I love, like, watching some of my guys, like, walk into these traps. And I'm like, don't do that. I walked into that trap. And just like you said before, there's nothing more powerful than that actually happening to me. But for me, as far as talent goes and investing in people, there's a couple things. It's always who then what. It's the Jim Collins from Good to Great. It's who they are. Are they a good person? Are they honest? Are they loyal? I think one of the most underestimated characteristics of entrepreneurs and just humans in general is curiosity. For me, I am so passionate and so curious about everything. I just went to Comic-Con this weekend and we're working on doing a book for 12 hours. I had my headphones on and I was walking to every single publisher, asking them every single question. Right now, everything is going so fast with social media that you need to be constantly learning. Always have to be the student. So for me, it's guys that, you know, are always asking questions. Like Michael's our new video guy. He wants to come. It's not even about the video for him. Video is secondary. He wants to be a businessman. So he comes, he listens, he asks questions. So for me, it's really having that passion to get smarter. Because ultimately, you know, smarter skills, intelligence, knowledge, that's what wins. We live in a skills economy right now. Not a job economy or what school, none of that counts anymore. So it's really just being curious.
I agree. Skills, knowledge, and desire. Yep. Those are the triad. Hey, real quick, Michael, what question you got for us? I'm going to break the fourth wall. You got one question? Yeah, you're on, buddy.
Oh, my God. Okay. What is your purpose in life?
Perfect. I actually believe the why is easy.
Yeah.
I think most people in life are like you and I. Mm-hmm. Their why is to help people. That literally, like, if you mm-hmm. crank down 90-some% of the people, why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. It's, I want to help my mom. I want to help my friends. I want to help anybody I know. We're here to allow things to come through us and appreciate what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I think if more people take the perspective of, number one, I'm not a victim. Yeah. Right? Nothing's happening to me. Two, I'm not even an optimist anymore where everything happens for me because mm-hmm. there's only so much of me to be for.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at purpose, my purpose is how many people can I help? Like, mm-hmm. how can I help and have the most impact? That's where my motto, make a lot of money mm-hmm. to help a lot of people and have a lot of fun, because I believe, and this is important for all you guys, money is the currency of this vibration. Mm-hmm. If you're fooling yourself, money doesn't buy happiness, but it allows you to manifest or shop. If you buy the right things, you're going to be happy, purposeful, and profitable. Mm-hmm. So I believe that if we're focused in on actually the currency of this vibration, how we mm-hmm. can help the most people, mm-hmm. it's be Warren Buffett, right? Yeah. Be Jeff Bezos. Make tons of money and just empower tons of people to empower tons of people. But at a higher level, my purpose is always faith. What I think, say, do, believe, and more importantly, those unconscious competencies of personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions that lend to a progressive energy of pursuit. You're a pursuer. The mm-hmm. reason you enjoy your life is you enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of your potential. That's mm-hmm. why you like the skills, the knowledge, the desire. You go to yep. Comic-Con, spend hours doing stuff, which relates me to kind of this, winning, right? Play to win. This is going in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to have you sign it behind me. But What does winning mean to you?
Just like I said before, with success, I think it's just doing what I want with who I want when I want. I really think that, you know, your guy in the front asks like how my day is, and I always say every day is the best day for me. I love what I'm doing. Ultimately, for me, kind of going back to giving back and teaching, that's how I do look at money, is money is a function of giving me more freedom and time to then invest more into giving back. I'm a single man right now. Eventually, I want to have a family and kids, and I want to, you know, I always joke around, I want like my kids to be like little aliens, like little monsters that crush it in life. So for me, it's really eventually just having like a son or a daughter and just teaching them absolutely everything I know. So that's one thing for me. And
like Marcus Allen, he did an interview and he's like, I brought this kid into the world. Now I have to give him everything I have. I feel it's like my responsibility. Went all the way back to Sidney Poitier to this great quote. So you have to check out that one. You just remind me of him. It's awesome.
Nice. I'd say it's that. And then it's just disruption. So like right now we've really disrupted the art market for the better. I think we're motivating people through art, and now we're getting into a couple new verticals, which I think are, they haven't been disrupted in a long time. That's like awesome. Example, when I was at Comic-Con this weekend, I mean, I did a lot of due diligence, and I'm seeing they're going to be mad they let us in.
That's awesome.
In that room. I'm going to leave it at that.
You are the disruptor. I have to introduce you to Artinol, which is like the disruptor in the CRM space for art.
Love it.
I'll check him out. Sean Green's the guy. He lives in New York and LA. They're back and forth. Last question here. So I'm looking at this stage of my life at my ego, right? Mm-hmm. I believe there's a truth consciousness that I try to live in at peace and center. That's why I meditate and have this routine. But everyone has kind of their Achilles ego, meaning mm-hmm. there's something that I always fight. For me, it's my ego about manipulation, overselling, back-end selling, lying. Mm-hmm. It's built into my character. It's built into my DNA. My dad had it. He was a compulsive gambler, manipulator, overseller. Mm-hmm. You can make a lot of money overselling, back-end selling. So I struggle to catch myself exaggerating, lying, manipulating, just subconscious and unconsciously. Mm-hmm. What part of your ego, you know, you're younger than I am, you're mm-hmm. earlier in the journey, but you're so elevated in your enlightenment. Is there a certain part of your ego that if I asked you, man, what, you know, when you're 51, you know, what's going to be that one thing that you're still going to be working on ego-wise?
I would say family. For me, I probably don't give my family enough time, which is something I'm constantly working on. Like my sister, you know, has a son, and I just don't have that much in common with my sister.
It's called a nephew, my friend.
Yeah,
nephew. My sister has a son. Yeah, talking about like a true uncle. There we go.
And
that's awesome.
Yeah, just I don't have that much in common with her, and for me, I'm a little selfish with my time. And I rationalize it through, you know, the fact that I haven't made it yet. I haven't won yet. And I always kind of say, you know, eventually when I get like this exit, then that's going to change me. And I just hope it does, because for me, I'm just obsessed with winning, and I have people to prove wrong. I have people to prove right. So I'm kind of, I mean, there's a reason I'm a 33-year-old male that's single, and, you know, I'm just obsessed with winning. So for me, I have no work-life balance. So I think my ego is just, I should be giving them more time, which I'm not.
So, you know, last piece of advice here from old Uncle Dave, Uncle David. One thing I learned in my life is, number one, I wasn't looking for balance anymore, mm-hmm. right? I have personal values, experiential values, giving and receiving. And when I was 33, I delved deep into receiving values, personal values, so mm-hmm. I could win.
Yep.
And I think I benefited from it. But one trick that I've learned is I give a minimum amount of time to the relationships I want to improve every day. Mm-hmm. So for me, like my mom, you know, Jewish mom,
yep.
I decided that I would call my mom, text her, email her a minimum of 1 minute a day, seven mm-hmm. days a week. So it's only 7 minutes in a day mm-hmm. to specifically let her know that I love and appreciate her. Like, and it changed my relationship. You could do the same thing with your sister. Give her 1 minute.
No, I do that Monday to Friday. I do do that in the morning. But I feel like there needs to be more depth to it.
Good.
And for me, I haven't found, you know, I'm just a different human than them. Like my sister, I'm trying to give her money to pay for a gift for my dad. She won't download Venmo. She doesn't have social media. It's just like I'm living on Instagram and she doesn't have social media. It's just we're just in two. Like,
that's so cool.
You would never guess that we're brother and sister. So I just don't
my brother's
have that much.
A rabbi, dude. Don't talk to me about you never get. Yeah, he's awesome, though. And I have... I made my mom cry one time. You'll appreciate that. We'll end this thing. But I made her cry because I told her, and I really meant it. I'm like, Mom, I will lie in front of a bus for you. Nobody appreciates and loves you more. Out of your mm-hmm. Like, I cry on stage when I talk about you. Mm-hmm. But, like, to be honest, I don't like you. Like, as a friend, like, we don't have anything in I don't have anything in common with my mom. It's not like I'm like, oh, I want to take my mom to the Padre game. I want to go hang out and have a drink with my mom. Like, I'm like, we have nothing in common. My mom's like the most wonderful second grade teacher, and she still talks to me like a second grader, and she would give me her life. I love her, and she showed me what to do.
this is the same that I have.
I don't know what to say to her when I'm with her, like, because if I say to her something that I'm interested in, like social media or what, like, I get blank stares, and then she's like, oh, well, so-and-so's birthday party was just so sweet and the cake was so beautiful. So just, we'll have to figure out together what
do. Do you know what was a really good one that helped with my family relationship is Shark Tank.
Really?
Yeah, because that is something that, you know, I love it. It's just more context, just more information, learn more. And they've commercialized it where
they can like it too.
Exactly. So yeah, like that for me, I go home to New York and we watch that.
Nice. I'm going to start watching with my mom, see what she thinks. That's good awesome. Shot there. This was an extraordinary episode. I always get it when I got super entrepreneurs like yourself. This is Dave Meltzer with Mark Brazil, Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. But I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.